You're listening to the Daily Mishnah Podcast with Benedict.
So we're dealing with questions of consent, and we're going to explore these, particularly with reference to deaf mutes, cheresh, who the rabbis really consider not to have full mental and legal capacity. And most of the rest of this chapter, we're in the 14th chapter. Most of the rest of this chapter is composed of these questions of consent. But in order to get our mind round them, we need to remind ourselves about a Mishnah that we learned in the 12th chapter about someone who's deaf. Ha-cheresh she-nechelatz ve-ha-chereshet she-chaltza ve-ha-choletzet lakatan chalitzata psula. If a deaf man submitted to chalitza, or if a deaf woman performed chalitza, or if someone performed chalitza on a minor, the chalitza is invalid. In other words, we need full mental capacity for chalitza. And by the way, this is not something that we need for yibum. So there's an asymmetry here. The bond of yibum between a man whose brother dies and his sister, his widowed sister-in-law, that is created instantly on the moment of death. And in fact, we learned that if we're going to carry out yibum rather than chalitza, that a sexual act does not require consent or knowledge. So effectively, yibum can happen without mental capacity. But chalitza requires mental capacity. So the two acts are asymmetric. And we're going to see that sometimes gets us into big, big trouble. But we're going to start anyway with some easy examples and then work up to the difficult ones. So the Mishnah is actually quite an interesting pedagogical It's an interesting pedagogical model because, yes, it's going to start with some simple examples and then they get more complicated. And I thought about putting these on a graphic on the Sorshi, but I just couldn't see how to draw them. So I haven't so far. If I can think of a graphic overnight, I'll do that. But let's jump in the Mishnah. We're in the third Mishnah of the 14th chapter. Shnei achim chereshim nesuim lishnei achayot chereshot. So we've got two deaf brothers married to two deaf sisters. Or we've got some other combinations. Or lishtei achayot pikot, maybe two sisters who are of sound senses. Or lishtei achayot achat chereshet ve'achat pikachot. Maybe two sisters, one of whom was deaf, the other sound. And the point is that in any of these combinations, at least one of the people in the marriage is a deaf mute. So the marriage is not considered to have the full force of a marriage deraita. If you like, we've talked before about, if you like, full fat, full strength marriages, where a man with full legal capacity gives, say, a man with full mental capacity gives a ring to a woman with full mental capacity. That the rabbis consider that a marriage deraita. And the only way of breaking it up is with a get deraita. And okay, the rabbis arranged for people with less mental capacity to get married. And again, you can see this is social engineering, it's protection on the part of the rabbis. But these marriages aren't considered to have full force. And all the examples we've had so far where at least one of the partners doesn't have full mental capacity comes in that category. These are rabbinic marriages. They're not considered deraita marriages. And similarly, let's just have another bunch of examples of marriages where at least one partner doesn't have full mental capacity. So, okay, we're going to have two deaf sisters. We started with two deaf brothers. Now we got two deaf sisters. So they're married to two brothers who are of sound mind. Or lishnei achim chereshim, maybe to two deaf mutes. Or lishnei achim echad cheresh ve'echad pikeach. Or two brothers, one of whom deaf and the other sound. So exactly the mirror image of our first set of examples. In fact, I think this is an exhaustive set of marriages of deaf mutes. All the combinations here. And the Mishnah concludes, and one of the brothers is going to die. The Mishnah doesn't say one of the brothers is going to die, but we can assume they're going to die because the Mishnah concludes, Hare elu p'turot mina chalitza o mina yibum. They're exempt from chalitza and from yibum. And we've learned this before. You can't marry your wife's sister. So when two brothers are married to two sisters, that whole mitzvah of yibum and chalitza just doesn't apply. You don't even need, yibum is clearly forbidden. But you don't need chalitza to get away from yibum because the whole thing just falls away. And we're saying that essentially both the relationship of yibum and of the original marriage, these are all derabanan. They're all equal status. We're not playing around balancing a marriage deraita against a marriage derabanan. These marriages are all equal status. They're all derabanan. And everything cancels itself out. In the event of a death, there's no chalitza and no yibum. Now, what if they're not sisters? V'im hayu nochriot. Maybe they're not sisters. In that case, yibum is not forbidden. But remember, the deaf mute still can't perform chalitza. So we're in a really interesting situation. We can have yibum. In fact, we must have yibum. It's a mitzvah. But we can't have chalitza. There's no chalitza. What do we do? So the Mishnah rules, yachnisu. So they should marry them. If one of them dies, the other one will marry the sister-in-law. So how are we going to arrange chalitza? What if the sister-in-law doesn't consent? How are we going to do chalitza? V'im ratzu lahotzi yotziu. But if they want to divorce them, they may do so. So we can't have chalitza, but we could actually have a divorce, and that, which would effectively have the same impact as chalitza. And because the deaf mute cannot perform chalitza, but we've learned in the previous couple of Mishnayot, he can perform divorce because he can do that via sign language. So they marry, and then if they don't want to remain married, they're divorced. These are the first set of examples. Then it gets a little bit more complicated. So we got two brothers, one dead and the other of sound senses. And they're married, nusuim lishtei achiyot pikot, and they're married to two sisters of sound senses. So one brother is deaf, and the other is not. So one of these marriages is deraita, and the other is derabanan. Yeah, the women are both of sound senses. One of the two brothers is a deaf mute. So one marriage is deraita, and the other is derabanan. So now we're getting into questions of balance, if you like, balancing the strength of the two relationships. So the first example we're going to bring, mate cheresh balapikachat. So the deaf brother dies. So the living brother is the one of sound senses. Maya se pikeach bal hapikachat. What does the brother of sound senses do? Who's married to the one of sound senses? What does he do? And the Mishnah answers, Teitse mishuma chotisha. She is exempt because she's his wife's sister. So he's married deraita, his brother's married derabanan, but he's definitely married deraita. So his wife has a connection with him deraita, and that's a real strong connection. And he can't marry his wife's sister. The fact that his wife's sister was married derabanan doesn't really come into it. He can't marry his wife's sister. She is exempt. Let's do the other opposite example now. Mate, pikeach, bal pikachat. So what if the brother of sound senses died? Maya se cheresh, bal pikachat. The brother of sound senses died. What does the deaf brother do? Now, this is really more interesting because the deaf brother, he has a connection with his wife, but it's derabanan. He has a connection with his wife, but it's derabanan. he can't do, whereas his brother, his sister-in-law were married to Raita. So he has some kind of connection. He has some kind of connection to his wife's sister. And his marriage is not strong enough to wipe away that connection. So without his will, without his knowledge, he's not only connected to Rabbanam, to his wife, as he always was, but he's connected to Raita, to his wife's sister. He actually has a stronger bond to his wife's sister, his sister-in-law, his brother's widow. He's got a stronger bond to his sister-in-law than he does to his wife. So, well, we know they're both forbidden, but the one who is most forbidden is his own wife. It's problematic. This is a tragic situation. I mean, the Mishnah answers, Motziyat ishto v'get. He must send away his wife with a get. Because he's got this relationship of Yibum with his sister-in-law. And of course, he can't do Chalitza because he's a Cheresh. He's got this bond he can't break. I mean, I have no idea whether this ever really, really happened, but if this ever happened, it's a tragic, tragic situation. So he sends his brother, he sends away his wife with a get, and then Ve'eshet achiv asura l'ulam, his brother's wife is forbidden forever because she's now the sister of his divorced wife. So he certainly can't marry her. So this poor man can't have a relationship with either of these two women, both, and of course the same for the women. They are both kind of stuck. I was going to say, of course, they can both marry other people. They can both marry other people, but neither of them have access to their original husbands.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Daily Mishnah Podcast with Benedict.